This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a 15-year veteran and three-time champion, subscribe to my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week where we take you through the ins and outs of the association's top storylines, as well as breaking news and so much more. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
11 o'clock hour here on Cody and Gold. We're going to head right out to Indianapolis. Andy Reid's press conference from the Combine, sponsored by Arvest Bank, a proud supporter of your Kansas City Chiefs. Arvest Bank, stop by any of our 20 KC branches. We're proud to be part of Chiefs Kingdom. Let's do this, and let's go out there right now.
Figure out how the pieces fit in the puzzle there, and we'll work together, and then inevitably complement one another and win games for you. Yeah, listen, I understand how it can go both ways. I think it takes certain players to be able to do that. And that's not an easy thing for the center. I was close to their center, so I know that's not an easy thing to do. My hat goes off to them for making it as consistent as they are doing it. Now, there are other things you have to look at. You got to look at the injuries that take place, or you know, whatever the other deals are that they evaluate on it. So I don't have all that information, but I mean, it's a heck of a play. I know that.
All right, that's Andy Reid and Andy, obviously. We'll try to get some better audio. I'll tell you a couple things, though. I understand, Drew. It's all good. That was in my ear.
No, that's not your fault.
Yeah, you're good. You're good, man. We'll just go through some quotes then from Andy as the audio quality is just coming through bad. But the Travis Kelce stuff, we're going to ask Brett Veach about this as well. Andy Reid said he gave Travis some advice, said, hey, get away, relax, get out of town. And for right now, he said that's what Travis is doing.
Get away from it. Make sure.
Get out of town. Get out of that miserable cold last week. I hope he was on a beach and not in Kansas City last week. That's what I hope for Travis's sake. Because I'd be thinking about retiring, too, if I just came off the loss and it was negative 15 degrees outside. I would say, screw this.
Somewhere warm.
So hopefully he wasn't even in Kansas City last week. Hopefully him and Taylor are somewhere private, secluded, island, somewhere like that. You know.
I mean, the truth is, if you had the kind of money he had and you saw the forecast that said it was going to be negative 10 in Kansas City, and you were off of work already, wouldn't you, Gold, immediately just, even if you didn't have it pre-scheduled, wouldn't you immediately find a beach to go be on?
Yes.
A different city to go be in? You had his kind of money, currently off of work. Yeah, man, my ass would be out of town, and I wouldn't even worry about it. I'd just be move on to the next thing. But they know the same thing we all know. We're going to know Travis Kelce's future sometime in the next 20 days. I think it's March 12th, right? Isn't that when the bonus technically kicks in for him on that end? So these last few days of February and then the first 10 to 12 days of March, we're going to get some sense of it. I know the rumor was last week that he was leaning towards coming back, but you know this, you can go back and forth a little bit, at least for a while, on whether those decisions make sense.
He also was asked about the left tackle position, and he said, quote, we're keeping everything wide open. It's too early right now. And look, that makes sense at this point in time. One, the combine hasn't even taken place. Free agency is still 3 weeks away. And I didn't expect the head coach of the Chiefs to be like, you know what? Yeah, we actually, this is our plan going forward. But I actually, in this is one of those circumstances where I believe him. Like, everything is wide open in possibility at left tackle, Cody. There's so many different paths and options they can take. Plan A, B, C, D, whatever, right? Like, I truly believe, like, they have a bunch of ideas, but I don't know if they ultimately know what they'll be able to accomplish. Remember, Trent Williams at one point was their plan A option a couple off seasons ago.
And honestly, he'd still be their starting left tackle, and we wouldn't even be having these conversations had he not decided to go back to San Francisco. That's why you and I are interested in asking Brett Veach, I think, a simple question. Not the vague is, what are you doing at left tackle? Which is, can you find a starting left tackle without trading up? That's what I want to know. Do you think that the options exist in either free agency or later in the draft to find your starting left tackle for a number of years without trading up in the draft? My answer is no, you can't really find that. And we can talk more about that as we discuss some of the Trey Smith rumors and some of the other stuff on in the show. But yeah, I think it continues to be this big question, which is, how are you planning on addressing this? Are you serious about Trey Smith, which is now the rumors are, something we can ask Brett Veach in a little bit? Because those are the big questions that still remain needing answers in this offseason. But funny enough, like the Travis Kelce thing you mentioned is one of the first thing that matters. He's like the first domino. Where's this $19 million going? Is it coming completely off the books? Is it getting spread out over 2 years? You and I both don't think that there's any way that Travis Kelce is a member of this team and paying full freight. Like, I don't think they're paying him the cap number he's owed this year.
I don't think it makes sense at this point in terms of production and where the Chiefs have to address other areas. And also, if you're Travis Kelce and you do come back, you're trying to come back to win a championship and only a championship. And so will you do what's necessary to help that process be financially? And we know for many years he was underpaid. Nobody's saying he wasn't. But I would imagine if he comes back that there will be some sort of understanding on the financial end of it.
As we continue to look at the Chiefs and what they're doing this offseason, we'll bring you some clips or anything else Andy Reid has to say that's interesting. This goes on again. Brett Veach will join us one-on-one coming up in about an hour from now, we believe. There's a chance.
Maybe some time zone things. There's a chance it's sooner. We'll see.
We'll see. We'll see. I was thinking more about the way this offseason works and any of the individual plans. I honestly think we should start viewing this offseason as worthy as the number one wide receiver and not Rice. Think about the position they were in. They were both equally as effective in their rookie year. One guy is healthy, played in the system the entire year, has a similar pedigree from where he was drafted, technically a higher pedigree from where he was drafted than Rashee Rice. He's picking 40 picks earlier than he was before. He possesses an elite level skill that is speed. They obviously used him in some of those routes before. I'd always kind of viewed it as, oh, he was going to be the Devontae Smith and maybe Rashee Rice could turn into A.J. Brown. But the more I'm thinking about this offseason, I think it's reversed. I think we should be thinking about what Xavier Worthy looks like as the number one target weapon in the offense. The suspension's only going to add to this. But for this offseason, that's kind of how I'm starting to view wide receiver.
I'm not there yet. There's no question the suspension potential is going to either way make it feel that way. If he's out the first 6 weeks of the season, it's going to be hard not to think somebody else is the number one receiver. You got to be on the field. And then you couple with the injury. But I'll remind everybody this time, or maybe not this time, I can't remember when everything went down last summer, I guess it was. This time last year, they hadn't drafted Worthy and everything. We hadn't seen the off-the-field incident or everything like that. And it was like clear he was the number one wide receiver. I still think he is that, but I understand it's going to be hard to imagine that if one of the guys is not even available for the first quarter of the season or quarter
and
a half.
And Xavier Worthy essentially did what he did in his rookie year by becoming the number one wide receiver around 9, 10, week 11, whatever it was.
I don't want us to forget, though, how good Rashee Rice was when he was on the field, both last year and, heck, the first 3.5 games of this season and what he was doing out on that football field.
Some big numbers.
You know, so the beautiful thing is whoever's your number two, right? Like, the gap between one and two is as narrow as it's been in a long time in Kansas City between the two wide receivers. And not because they don't have a one, but because they have two legit guys at the wide receiver spot. We really haven't seen that in a while. So I still would say Rice is the one, but I totally get what you're saying. And a lot of it is off the field stuff. Not, yeah. You know, it's not based on performance. It's based just, off is of the legal be on and, the field? And then health. And I think nowadays guys come back from ACL injuries. Like, I'm not worried that he's just not going to be the same player. I'm not. It's more like next year, are we going to be only seeing eight games or nine games of Rashee Rice? We don't know.
Well, and some of it is the leap that we saw in Rashee Rice to start last year, the beginning of the season. Why can't Worthy take that same leap? Again, highly drafted, sure. Highly thought of player. And I get it. Like, I'm looking at he got hurt in game four and barely played. It was like in the first quarter or whatever.
That Chargers, the interception.
That Chargers
that
game.
That one's still the what if there, but anyway.
His three games before that were seven catches for 103 yards. Five catches for 75 and a touchdown, 12 for 110 and a touchdown.
I still think he's the one.
And then he got hurt before the season started. If you think he's 1-2, and I know it's like way too early about this, what are the expectations for yardage total per game, though? Because we can't even do season, right? Like, is he a 70-yard per game guy next year when he comes back immediately?
Is Mahomes getting protected? As in, are there opportunities down the field? Because we all know this all comes back to offensive line protection for Patrick Mahomes. You know, as much as we can say, hey, do you have guys that can get separation? And Worthy clearly can. Rice can when he's on the field. That was something they lacked at times last year. And if you're going to have that and you need some time to get open too, you need to have better protection. And I'll go back to the running back stuff, the explosive running back that I think they need to go out and find this offseason, probably through the draft, so that you're not using, like, I know the short passing can be an extension of the run game kind of thing. I get it. They're big on that. But if you have a better running game, you're not having to just do the quick little 1 yard pass and hope that there's yards after the catch kind of wide receiver screen or short passing game.
I think this is why I so desperately want them to, instead of like going back to the veteran market, and I understand the appeal, but if we already think Rashee Rice developed into a number one guy or Worthy is working towards that, right? Like, I'm telling you, maybe we should look at him as the number one guy next year. Taking a third guy in the draft interests me more than the vet. Because if these guys can already do that, three guys all on rookie deals who look like the goods. Like, let's just say I saw some rumors that Luther Burden's falling out of the first round. Let's just say Burden gets taken at 31. Like, you can't talk me out of a wide receiver unit that doesn't include those three guys and kind of goes into the season looking that way, because it becomes infinitely more fascinating to me if you do that instead of the veteran thing. I get why a team goes veteran when, and again, this is why you like kind of get mad at Rashee. You're like, you idiot. Like, you can't help the injury, but why were you speed racing through the middle of the Texas highways? This whole conversation changes if you don't get in this massive legal trouble because of that. And yeah, I continue to try to do research on where any of that is in the process. You can see that he has a court date this summer for the civil part of this. No idea when any of the criminal stuff's taking place. No idea when any of the suspensions will take place or how hard the NFL will go on it or anything. We're just left in limbo, not knowing anything about where he might be. That's another reason why I think, you know, Worthy could very well just snatch the crown, right? Like, if you're not playing, and he was playing like a number one target weapon before, well, all he's got to do is come into next season and do some of the things Worthy was doing. Start being a 7-8 catch guy, 9 catch guy, instead of 5-6 catches, which is exactly what Rashee Rice did from year one to year two. Like, that's the identical path he took. Now, I'd say he was probably more of a catch guy late in the season than Worthy was, but there was also more competition, I think, at wide receiver for Worthy than there was for Rashee Rice last year when he was competing against nobody. I mean, they just had no other wide receivers to rely on at all outside of him. Last year, they had some talent, especially late in the season when Hollywood came back and everyone else. They at least had a little competition there, right, versus the previous year, where Rice was like the only guy to throw to.
And honestly, one of the things, we only have 10 minutes with Brett Veach in the noon hour today, but we could, if we have some time, ask him about the timeline. Have they had any conversations with the league? Like, what do they believe maybe the timeline looks like for Rashee Rice? Not just from an injury standpoint, where he's already in rehab and everything, but from a legal standpoint. There's a lot to address with Brett Veach. You'll hear our one-on-one interview with him in the noon hour, we expect, from Indianapolis.
Yeah, looking forward to hearing from him. But yeah, I mean, it's always, the wide receiver stuff's always going to be interesting because you have Patrick Mahomes, and if you could just tell me Rashee Rice was receiving zero suspension, I could make an argument that this has a chance to be the best wide receiver unit Patrick Mahomes has ever had. Because the better one before that was Tyreek Hill and Sammy Watkins, probably, right? They've never had a duo at wide receiver like they face now. And they're still getting I don't think they're getting like bad play out of Travis Kelce if he returns. So that just kind of adds a whole nother element to it and all these other things. So I know Brett Veach had said he's interested in offensive line and defensive line in his presser. And again, that's something we'll address with him. But I mean, we know that wide receivers are always going to be in the list.
And part of the wide receiver convo, you know, you aren't as strong on it as I am, but like I still think you can do both. You can draft a young wide receiver again, let's say second or third round, and you can still, if
Hollywood
Brown is willing to come back on a 1 year deal, then I'm interested. Is somebody else willing to give him a multi-year deal? And that's where it gets a little more complicated. But on a 1 year deal, very similar incentive laden deal that Hollywood Brown was on this year prior to the fluky injury in the preseason game down in Jacksonville. Yeah, I would love if you told me that, hey, let's say Rice is gone for the first 6 weeks, but I'm able to have Hollywood Brown and Xavier Worthy plus whatever the other rookie is, and then one other veteran, smaller scale. That's my wide receiver room for the first six
that's
weeks.
A unit.
And then after 6 weeks, all of a sudden it's Hollywood Brown and Rice and Worthy and Travis Kelce's back.
I mean, that's exciting,
right?
Now, the whole problem goes back to what you said before is, can you keep him off his ass?
Right.
Can't throw at any of those guys unless you solve left tackle. Right. So it's just such a challenge, obviously, especially when you're dealing with the cap stuff with having a lot of stars be paid.
913-586-7965. Someone says, legit asking, I have errands today. Can we plan on Brett Veach being on? We are told at 12:15. All I can tell you is from the Chiefs PR staff, 12:15.
We did promise Jack yesterday and didn't get him until today, but we had him today.
We did. If you missed that interview, it'll be podcasted also. We'll play it in the 1 o'clock hour. But we are told 12:15. Brett Veach, we'll call into the show. We will talk exclusively with him here on 96.5 The Fan. We will ask him about Travis Kelce and Trey Smith and Rashee Rice's maybe legal timeline and left tackle. Everything you want to know.
And if he thinks Jack Caglione can play tight end, for him.
Yeah.
Maybe he'd be a two-sport athlete. I'm not going to ask him that.
And he'll say that he prefers Bob singing over yours. We'll get into that too,
Why? Just because he sings about him?
Have you heard? You've heard it.
I've heard what?
Brett Veach Town.
I mean, they play it every 2 days.
I don't know about that.
I don't know how anybody would have missed it at this point.
Have you heard it?
Yes, I've heard it. Okay, they started that song like 3 years old now.
Yeah, but they play it.
I'm not saying there's no chance. Mm-hmm. It wasn't a shot. I'm just saying they play it a lot, Drew. So I would have heard it at some point.
I know.
That's all.
I do think that there.
I don't have a song for Brett Veach.
I think you have a little. There's a little bit of a dig in there.
I think so. I heard it. I heard it.
I said they play it every couple of days. That's a stat. I'm stating a fact.
I'm curious though. Does the text line like Bob singing enough for him to play it every 2 days?
Because, I don't think they like anyone singing. I mean, if I'm being honest.
That's also true. That's also very much the case. I think that's fair.
Just laughing at the text line. Sorry, texter, we can't 100%. But we're supposed to have Brett Veach, and we're trying. And it wasn't a shot.
That's right. All right, let's get to the trash of the day.
Trash of the day.
I've got an update. I've got an update on a previous trash of the day. And I don't know why I'm so disappointed. I should be happy with this update. Like, this is good for everyone, and I mean everyone on Earth. But you guys remember in the last week, I've been giving you daily updates from NASA in regards to an asteroid that was heading towards Earth in 2032. Asteroid 2024 YR4. Uh-huh. The riskiest asteroid on record last week. It was once about a 3% chance of hitting Earth. Now, they're saying it has nearly a 0% chance. There is a 99.9983% chance that it will safely zip by Earth in 7 years. That's
what
a 1 in 59,000 possibility of an impact now. That the space rock has a 0.0017 chance. That was not the case just a week ago. And why am I just? I should be happy.
You wanted it to hit Earth?
No.
You just wanted it to have a chance.
I wanted the percentage to be something to watch for 7 years. And now I'm oddly disappointed.
Maybe it could go back up if it could take that big of a swing in the negative.
I guess. What
did
happened?
They say why? Why the numbers dipped so low?
I'm not sure. You know, that basically the oil rig guys got up there earlier than they thought. They made it up to the asteroid quicker. They already destroyed it partially, I guess. Knocked it off its path.
You have sound disappointed, though, Gold. I think
I am a little disappointed.
Yeah. He was hoping, you know.
I just wanted us
he
to.
He only needed to live six more years.
You're being this example. I wanted chaos.
I just wanted the percentage to. Like, I want us to be sitting here 5 years from now. The percentage was like 10%. And I'd be like, well, there's a 10% chance. Just for the conversation.
That's a little high, 10%.
For the conversation.
You want to limit it like maybe 5 or 6?
But now we're not going to have any conversation. Today's the last day I'm going to bring up this asteroid. That's it. That's why.
Unless, what percentage? This has got
to
be like.
To get back above 5%.
This is Cincinnati's record. I need like a number before we can bring the asteroid back up on this show. 5%? It didn't even get that high the last time, did it?
No.
It got to like 2.5%. Man, that's a really, that's a tough hit.
I was stunned with this update. What happened? Did obviously like NASA get funding again? What happened here?
I don't think we're ever going to know. I'm sure something happened.
I mean, it's floating through space. Can't it just get, like, knocked off its trajectory?
That's what I think, but yes.
Or, like, it miss a rotation in whatever it's being pulled on from a gravitational pull perspective? I don't know, like, how it loops through. I'm not going to pretend like I have deep knowledge of deep space, but, like, I'm assuming something can throw off the trajectory of something pretty regularly. I was down a rabbit hole, probably because we were talking about this the other day. I really got down a rabbit hole the other day about why it was exactly that Pluto was ever considered a planet and then why they got rid of it. Because you and I grew up at the same time. We grew up as Pluto as a planet, right?
That's right.
So did I.
It existed as a planet.
Yes.
It's because it never deserved to be a planet is really the truth.
Oh.
Falsely recognized before they got good measurement systems. They constantly thought it was bigger than it was, you know? They're just lying on the internet about how big it was. Terrible news.
Yeah, that never happens. Nobody ever overcompensates for size.
Terribly.
Heaven forbid.
You know, terribly misleading everyone and everyone thinking Pluto was a lot bigger than it was. It's like 5 times smaller than our moon. So it's like, unless our moon's going to be a planet, we can't just be tossing in Pluto because we feel bad for it.
Apparently size does matter.
Yes. In planets, it does. I can't speak for everything, but in planets, it does, you know?
Mm-hmm. That's the trash of the day.
So.
He says, can you place bets on the asteroid? No.
Could you imagine some offshore book taking a chance on this asteroid hitting? Yeah, that's a 6 year.
You might not get your money.
They're never paying it out.
If it is Earth or not.
They're never paying it out. You, the only way you should make the bet on the no side, the yes side, you'll never get your money anyway.
I mean, although
this one was supposed to be a city destroyer, not a world ender. Thank goodness. But now we're good. 0.000017 or whatever it was.
I can't believe it. You know, we had almost 6 weeks worth of mentioning that asteroid as its percentages slowly climbed, and now it's just nothing. Now it means not all of this.
Yeah, Texan thinks you're really focused on the size of things today. It's kind of weird. We've only done the show for an hour and 23 minutes today, and it's the third time you've referenced sizing. I don't know. Something's on the mind. I don't know.
I don't think so. That came up naturally. Mm-hmm. We were talking about asteroids. I mentioned Pluto.
Yeah.
That doesn't seem like a crazy thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know. Now, it seems like the text line enjoyed the moon talk for a little bit. Sometimes, what time's your happy hour start? On the 7th.
Yeah, if you don't know, we're doing something here in a couple weeks.
Yeah, thought it was bigger than it was, you know? March 7th. This show will be at Kelly's in Westport starting at 6:30 p.m. because we wanted to pay back to the listeners who helped us become the number one rated midday show. As a result of that, they gave us money, and we're using that money to pay for a bar tab. Straight up, company's not giving it to us out of my own or our own pockets. We will pay that money to a bar tab at Kelly's 6:30 on Friday, March 7th. We just wanted to do something fun for the listeners who helped us get there 6:30 that night. It's going to be fun, man. Will you get blackout drunk?
No, because two things. I'll have a good time, but two things. One, it's in Westport. The next morning, I have a show to do.
Just skip that show.
No, because the next one, I'm not doing the next Saturday one. I have work the next morning, and then... as I said, it's in Westport. I live in South Overland Park, so I'm gonna
take an Uber.
So I don't want to do the Uber. So I will have a couple of drinks, and that'll be my evening, and we'll be interacting with listeners.
I think you said on the show, Cody, that you've never seen Gold.
I've seen him like he's had some drinks since feeling himself
like buzzed. Okay,
yeah, I mean I've seen him buzzed, but I've never seen. I don't think Alex gets but like drunk because like I only get drunk like twice a year probably. So like I bet for Alex it's a similar number, which means. In order to see that, you kind of have to just, like, be in the right place in the right circumstances in the right time. And I think for Alex, a lot of times that's within a 5-minute Uber ride of his home.
Or at the lake.
Or at like, yeah, a lake situation. Now, Cody and Gold at the lake, that's going down this year. So
it is.
maybe that's my chance. You
that
know?
Is definitely going to happen, I think. In some, it maybe won't be the same way we described it before, but it'll happen in some form or fashion. That is true.
You know, one of these days.
All right, up next, we'll get to the Chiefs Red Half Hour. There was once a wide receiver that everybody wanted in Kansas City, and now maybe the value makes sense. We'll explain who that is next.
Welcome in to the Chiefs Red Half Hour. Every day at 11:30 with Cody and Gold on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan.
It is the Chiefs Red Half Hour. A reminder, the combine going on in Indianapolis, at least some of the media availability today, agent meetings, and then the testing stuff doesn't begin until Thursday. We're going to have the general manager of the Kansas City Chiefs join us exclusively for a one-on-one interview coming up at 12:15 here on your home for the Chiefs, 96.5 The Fan. But there was once a name that would come up, and certainly around the draft, because of a player they drafted instead of a certain player. And people are said, hey, maybe you could trade
for him.
How
many times, yeah.
Now, is it more realistic? I'm, of course, talking about DK Metcalf. We all know for that millionth time, we don't have to make the comp of DK Metcalf, Mecole Hardman in the trade, et cetera. Also, Mecole Hardman helped them win a Super Bowl in an overtime catch. So I definitely done talking about the difference of drafting the guy there. But would you be interested in DK Metcalf now? Because maybe the value isn't as absurd to go acquire him as it has been in the past. I'm referencing this because on the Zach Gelb show over on Infinity Sports Network, James Palmer was asked about what it would take for a DK Metcalf trade.
And this isn't my opinion. This is just I love talking to people that know these positions so well. And one thing with DK that has come up, if you're not an elite route runner, I was always told this, if you're not an elite route runner, when you start to get up in age, it's a little bit harder to win consistently. DK is still a physical specimen and still is such a mismatch because of his size, but he's not an elite route runner. And he's not a guy that can run a million different routes in the route tree. And so some people in the league believe as age comes along, you don't stay in the league very long like that. That's happened to players that are just bigger bodied advantage type of guys. And then when push comes to shove down the road, they didn't learn how to play it another way. I don't think DK is viewed as a first round type of trade.
Not anymore. He's not. And if you're wondering his age and everything, he's 27 years old. He won't turn 28 until next December. So he's under 30. He fits that kind of criteria. His cap hit, though, this coming year is $31 million. That's the hesitation I have. As far as a draft pick, I think because of the money and everything, I believe you could actually get him for a third round pick. I really believe that.
I don't think it costs that much to get him. First round's nuts.
Yeah, there's no way. So there's more interest. You know, style of wide receiver, that's not what they've had. And that's why I think he's intriguing. He, to me, is still an overrated player. I'm not saying he's bad by any means. I think because he's an athletic freak, and we all know the funny video of Pete Carroll and taking his shirt off or whatever, all that. Like, yeah, he is still that guy. But statistically, he's a very good receiver. He's not a top 10 receiver. I don't think he's a top 15 receiver in the league. I think he falls in that like 20 to 25-ish range in this league. And then the dollar amount is what scares me. You can't even get the dead cap after 1 year of trading for him. I believe at this point in time, because of restructure, this is the final year. I'm sorry. This is the final year, $31 million. So you'd be trading for a guy.
Yeah, it's a void year after this.
You'd have to get a new contract done if you're going to trade for him, most likely.
So if you have Rashee Rice and you have Xavier Worthy, why are you trading for a 28-year-old wide receiver that you have to pay? Like, again, if this was the three-peat year and you're all in and, you know, you're not thinking about just future plans, you're thinking about how do we win this year. Would have made more sense last year than it does in a year like this.
Yeah, I feel like the separation stuff that we were frustrated with DeAndre Hopkins and stuff, I think we'd be saying a lot about DK Metcalf. And the Chiefs don't do a lot of, hey, we're going to throw the ball up and hope you just catch it kind of. That's just not their offense typically. They don't do a ton of fades in the goal line area, thank goodness. DK is still effective wide receiver. I don't think the dollar amount, even though the draft capital is down, $31 million next year?
He's not worth anywhere close to that. He is less productive. If you're going to pay $31 million to wide receiver, why wouldn't you just pay T. Higgins? He's younger. He's available now. You have to give up zero draft pick compensation in order to acquire him. And I know that
maybe available,
there's still a franchise tag. Yeah. At the moment, he's available, hypothetically. I know some of this you could just pin on bad quarterback play because there's been a lot of it there in Seattle. the numbers don't jump off the page. 66 for 1,000 and 8 touchdowns, 66 for 992 and 5 touchdowns. I'm not saying, again, to your point, those aren't bad numbers. That doesn't make him a bad wide receiver. Honestly, I'd probably take those numbers at Xavier Worthy this year. As a second-year rookie making no money, right, like if I'm paying $31 million a year, I better be getting a star. I better be getting my number one wide receiver, no questions asked. And because they have Rashee Rice and Xavier Worthy, this I have way less of an appetite for this than I did before. And I know some of the rumors are kicking up that they were kicking the tires or asking around about DK Metcalf. It's always tough this time of year because it seems like Brett Veach could have just been like, what's DK status? And he's like, well, you know, you'd probably have to pay his full salary. He's like, all right, cool, moving on. What else you got? Like that could have been the level of interest, right? Kicking the tires. And you and I were looking at a rumor for a different player we can talk about in a minute on the Denver side that seems to be floating around. But yeah, it's not like a hard no, but they would have to eat 70% of the salary and it'd have to be for less than a third. And I don't think Seattle's that desperate.
Is he going to stay in Seattle then?
If you're Seattle and you have no quarterback and no plan for this year, you're in a competitive division. This is another team where I would say, shouldn't he just take the $10 million and put him on the street? I mean, what can't...
Yeah, is it 10 or 12 or something like that to cut him?
I guess for that, like at least get your 30 or fourth, right? Like get something for him. Because the only other argument you can make for trading for him, paying him and doing all this stuff is he probably will still get a pretty sizable contract at 28 years old as a free agent. By acquiring him, you essentially get your draft pick compensation back. You offer up a third for him, you're going to get a third or a fourth back, we would think, in a compensation pick by letting him go as a free agent. So if you're willing to delay the pick a year, you can kind of offset it. But that comes at paying the price. And $31 million is still, I think, way too high for DK.
Yeah, let a team like New England or Washington go.
Nobody seems to really need a wide receiver.
Yeah, go and acquire him. The value is why we brought it up because it's different, but the issue is the salary. The issue is just plain and simple the contract that still exists for DK Metcalf. But I know over the years it had been a name that fans had always brought up because of the Mecole Hardman thing, which I hope by now we've moved on from that, especially after Mecole Hardman caught a game-winning touchdown pass in overtime to win their second straight Super Bowl.
You'd like to think so.
I would like to think so.
I know, but it's like, look, nobody's... It's both things can be true. Drafting Mecole Hardman did not stop this franchise for accomplishing right. all the things that they wanted to accomplish. And DK Metcalf is a better wide receiver. Okay, so like, yeah, okay, cool.
Sure, nobody's gonna
there's
argue
not,
that.
Like, yeah, there's not. It's like both things can be simultaneously true. If you had a time machine and you could go back and you could draft DK Metcalf instead of Mecole Hardman, yeah, you would. But if I had a time machine and I could go back, they would just trade up for Justin Jefferson and not take Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Like, I mean, I can make the situation way better if I want. You know, so like it just kind of depends on how you look at it. I wonder sometimes is you and I, the way we've talked about other things with Andy Reid organization, some things that we just have to like let go. You know, it's me with the quarterback sneak or I told you last year if we're feeling that same way, then we should feel that way about the run game or whatever. Things that the Chiefs generally have not let go. At some point doing this show, you and I are going to have to, we get 5 more years on the road, you and I are going to have to agree that as Andy Reid is the head coach and Brett Veach is the GM as a combo, we should give up on getting a big-bodied wide receiver that we want because they don't want it. They don't want the same things we want. DK Metcalf has never been the style of player they have ever targeted other than an aging DeAndre Hopkins in a desperate situation. They have never really gone after that type of wide receiver and tried to fit it into their offense as one of their primary weapons ever. And so, like, at some point, it's like...
I'm holding out hope for one more year. I'm holding out hope for one more year, man.
I gotta let it go.
I'll do it after this year. I'm holding on to it, not for DK, but just that style of wide receiver for one more year. There was a wild rumor, and now it's like, it's an actual report. It's not even just from a random Twitter account, around Denver. This is from 104.3 The Fan, Denver Sports Radio. And this comes from Cecil Lammy. He is tweeted out, and it's also on their station Twitter account. League sources tell me 4-time Super Bowl champion tight end Rob Gronkowski is considering a return to the NFL. He worked with Sean Payton at Fox. I am told he loves Denver and Bo Nix. Two of his brothers, Dan and Chris, had short stints with the team. This comes from 104.3 The Fan. Why? 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 If you're Gronk,
hasn't Gronk been out of the league for like 2 years?
Why would
three
you?
3 years? Was the last time he played?
Is it because you saw Kelce still playing and you're like, hey, I can do this too, kind of thing? What's the
board?
What's the reason? Rob Gronkowski is 35. He turns 36 in March. What are we doing? Or in May? I'm sorry. What are we doing? Go ahead, Denver. Rely on the 36-year-old Rob Gronkowski hasn't played in a couple years.
He last played in 2021. It is, just to remind people, the year is 2025. He hasn't played in 4 years. He first retired 6 years ago.
I don't get it. Like, also, he once said that the only quarterback he's ever going to play with is Tom Brady. So now you're just... screw it.
And you decided Bo Nix was the guy you're going to do it?
It's like, out of all the, you're right. Exactly. Say that out loud. That's hilarious to think about.
I assume that if you have the boldness to come out with that report, that's a real person over.
Oh, I don't think he's making it up. Yeah.
I mean, making it up is too strong. I don't think he's just, but like, who is telling you this? If it's not Rob Gronkowski, I borderline wouldn't believe it. Does that, you know what I'm saying? Unless my source on this information was Rob Gronkowski telling it to my face in a moment in which he was fully sober, I would be like, are you sure? Like, this can't be a friend or an agent of a friend or a friend. You know, like, I feel like I got to have 2, 3, 4 sources if I'm finding out Rob Gronkowski wants to return after 4 years, and the only team he'll return to right now is Bo Nix's Denver Broncos, a team that hasn't competed for the division in a decade, has a rookie quarterback who was pretty good, but you still don't have any answers on, to what, play maybe 1 year under Sean Payton just so all three of you can say that it was pretty good?
Also, you're not competing for a championship next year with Denver, so it just... What are you just trying to rack up? Hope you make a postseason game and try to have some more postseason numbers. What are we doing?
In fairness, their leading tight end was Adam Troutman last year. You want to guess how many yards he had?
200.
188. Gronk can give you more than that. Surely. It can't be any worse than that. Why?
Right, but if
it
you're Gronk, who already is a Hall of Fame career,
maybe he just loves
one, you're also going to restart that clock by going back and playing. But also, you know,
longer to the Hall of Fame.
But why?
I don't know if people care about that.
But why would you do that if you know, like, best case scenario, Denver maybe goes to the playoffs again? Like, that's best case.
He might just want to play. I mean, it might not be, he just likes Denver.
He's 36, though. Like, if you told me he retired when he was 27 and then came back when he was 31, I'd be like, okay, he's still in early 30s.
We did just talk about Mercedes Lewis the other day, who was, what was he, 41?
Again, different class of tight end, though. Mercedes Lewis has never been considered a top tight end in football, so he's 40 and he just wants to collect a check. Rob Gronkowski's already doing media stuff. He's
might be able to play, though. Like, he might actually be able to play a little bit where he just misses the game. I wonder if he's just so far gone off the... I don't need to be the greatest tight end of all time anymore. I just want to play.
He's just bored?
You sit out for 4 years and you can just jump right back in?
I'm sure he's kept in shape.
He's going to have to add 50 pounds to his frame again, man. He's gotten skinnier.
That actually might be a good thing.
Like, I mean, I guess, but like, that's not what made Gronk Gronk, you know?
Oh, sure.
He wasn't better because like he was playing in the margins, able to be slippery. He was Gronk because he was a human tank.
Right.
Capable of taking on any defender and beating up any player.
I'm not saying he would be good, but I don't know.
I wouldn't fear it at all, like if I were Kansas City.
No.
And look, I get it. We could get Gronk versus Kelce, I guess, twice a year because Brett Veach, who will join the show coming up in 30 minutes, and we'll ask him in more detail, had said that they are currently anticipating Travis Kelce coming back to the franchise next year, which is of note. But like, I don't know, man. Why would you do that? Who retiring for 1 year and coming back? Okay. Okay, right? He retired in 2019. Brady's like, come on, man, please, we're begging. Who retires for 4 years and then is like, you know where I'm going to go?
That is a long time.
Bo Nix.
The answer is no.
Can't wait to see that second-year quarterback.
The answer is nobody. I mean, T.O. for a while, there were those rumors he was going to come back and play wide receiver at 44 years old or whatever it was. Like, and that, of course, never happened, by the way. I just don't. There's a point where it almost becomes like embarrassing for the player, and that's kind of where I'm at with this one with Gronk, if you actually came back. Do I think, to what you're saying, Drew, could he still do what they had out of the tight end last year? Yeah, but that's not what Gronk was. He wasn't just a dude. He was one of the best tight ends in NFL history. Why come back and just be a random, you know, 15th best, 20th best tight end, if that's what you want?
Like, if you get 675 yards and 4 touchdowns, was it worth it?
I mean, if he got 600, that's impressive.
If that's what he's doing, then yes, at age 36.
That's a pretty low number. But that makes him like the 15th best tight end.
At age 36, it would be. What I'm saying is, like, I don't think he's capable of doing that.
You think he's like Noah Gray? You think he's just popping off here to be Noah Gray?
I think he would have 270 yards and he'd be a good blocking tight end for the Broncos.
For him to jump off the set of Fox and go for 675 yards would be ridiculously impressive.
He's one of the all-time great tight ends. I think it could get
crazy.
600 yards?
After 4 years,
I don't think it's worth it.
After 4 years of being 36 at the start of the season, I don't think so.
Fresh legs. You know?
Fresh legs, or are they just not the same legs? I don't know. Someone says the answer is Brett Favre. Yeah, but Brett Favre didn't take, I don't think he took 4 years off, did he?
He was not gone
that long. That was like an off season or
people
whatever
who
it was.
Retire, like Michael Jordan took two, right? You don't take four. People don't just leave the sport
MJ
for 4 years.
He also played another sport while he was retired.
Gronk's been on beaches.
According to this,
and
he's been working out at Vail.
He's been doing the USAA ads, you know?
Okay.
Why Vail? Is it like the up, it's he's already prepared altitude. For the altitude?
Yeah.
Isn't, how long has J.J. Watt been out of the league? Because there's rumblings around him as well.
2 years, Mel? Or a year?
Okay.
A year or two?
One more small piece of news in the NFL right now. Okay. Bills and wide receiver Khalil Shakir have now reached an agreement on a 4-year contract extension worth up to $60.2 million and $32 million guaranteed at signing. Deal ties him to Buffalo through the 2029 season.
Really nice player. Was a big part of their offense this year. Really was. I mean,
yeah, and that's not a bad price for a wide receiver.
Remember, the cap goes up, so some of these wide receiver numbers are going to seem crazier than what they're. But he's 25 years old. He was pretty effective. Good for him, man. Good for Khalil Shakir.
The Boise State guy?
Just a random guy.
He was a big fantasy football player.
Fifth round pick out of Boise State, and now he just got a nice payday, so good for him.
That's what he was, fifth rounder?
Yep.
Oh, boy, I bet he's psyched about $35 million guaranteed.
Do you think?
Fifth round player? Yeah. That's about as good as it gets.
Uh-huh. Someone says, how long was Tebow out before he tried the baseball thing and went with the Mets organization?
Yeah. Did he even like really try that?
Someone says, Ted Williams went to war and then came back. Touche. Touche.
Okay. Gronk wasn't at war.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Little different.
What do you actually put the odds up? By the way, that
Ted
report.
Williams
what do you
didn't
actually
go to
put
war
the odds?
The time everyone went to war.
5% chance. What do you think? 5% chance, Gronk?
Probably.
Yeah, it's like it's less than 5% chance. I think Gronk can play for the Broncos.
Hilarious part about that is Ted Williams went to war and he was retired less time. He was out of the sport less time than Rob Gronkowski. And I would like to point out less time than Gronkowski would have taken off from football, not baseball. I would also like to point out that Ted Williams did that when he was 23.
Not 36.
23 years old. Difference. Not 30, not 32 to 36. Like those are
but Cody, the
different.
Science and everything has changed so much, man. You know, health regimen is so different.
Man, Ted Williams got done fighting the Nazis and just rolled back in and hit 38 home runs with a .497 on base percentage.
Man.
What a hero. Look at that guy. Just taking on the world, you know? That's an interesting
when
one.
When you got it, when you got it, you got it.
Just do good. No big deal. Just led baseball in pretty much everything for the next like
that
4 years after he came back from the war.
Cool. That was 5% that he plays for the Broncos or just period?
Well, period. Fine. Yeah, period.
I guess 5% across. Yeah, because
Ted Williams still in the frozen nitrogen tanks?
I don't know.
No, I'm serious.
I wish I had the answer for you.
No, I
like I remember like yeah, his whole head's frozen thing.
Hold on.
Huh?
The last article says Ted Williams' head mistreated in lab.
Oh no.
What?
According to a new book.
He had froze his head to try to be like chronogenically frozen.
Yeah.
To try to preserve, you know?
Williams' head was being transferred from one container to another when the monkey wrench incident took place. Sorry.
Johnson says
when the head was he's already dead. When the head was he was in a damn cryogenic chamber.
His family
believed
that it would heal.
When the head was removed from the first container, the disembodied face set in that awful frozen scream looked nothing like any picture of Ted Williams I've ever seen. Then he grabbed a monkey wrench, heavy to mighty swing, missed the tuna can completely, but hitting the head dead center. Tiny pieces of frozen head sprayed around the room. This is from a book. This is not like a satire site. It's an article on ESPN from October of 2009.
In August 17th of 2024, there was an article up here about how his head is still frozen in Scottsdale. So,
Okay.
Are you thinking about being cryogenically frozen?
I am not.
Why?
Because I don't.
What if they could bring you back later? Don't you want that chance?
No, because where's the rest of my body?
They'll just put you on like a robot or something. Dude,
no, I'm good. I'm good.
You don't want a robot body?
No, I don't believe that we're going to be able to just unfreeze people's heads. I'm not a believer in that science, unfortunately.
Yeah, but there's a lot of people who didn't think we'd have like penicillin 400 years ago. Are you confident
you
that
think
you want
penicillin
to,
like, is as advanced as what this is talking about, bringing a dead brain back to life?
Come on. Imagine convincing someone 500 years ago about the personal computing power inside your cell phone. Are you are you 100% sure?
I'm 95% sure.
1,000 years from now that they couldn't bring your head back to life and put you on a robot body? I'm not.
I'm 95% sure. Also, how do we know these companies aren't just stealing money? And
they're definitely just like, oh, you mean like they're never going to put me on the robot body? I mean, what if they keep them in business?
What if that company goes out of business? Then what happens? Who's taking care of my head?
No one. Your head just... It's just going in the garbage.
Scam is what it is.
Scam? You think it's all just a big scam?
Having my head frozen in one of those nitrogen tanks is a scam, yes.
What's the oldest company that's still operating? I guess that would really be a question. Because I'm thinking it might be 500 to 1,000 years, you know?
I still can't believe you just compared being cryogenically frozen to
penicillin. Come on, man.
Dude, they didn't even... They were putting leeches on people's bodies like 300 years ago. It's not that crazy.
I understand, but
But he's already dead.
Yeah.
Oh, boy, man, there's some older businesses than you think, you know?
Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we're fine. The oldest
business
in the
world? Sounds like you're considering.
The oldest business in the world was a Japanese construction company founded in 578 CE. Oh, so, geez. I mean, we're good to go.
And they still haven't figured out a way to bring him back.
That's a construction company. They're not trying to bring back heads to life, you know? I just need the company to stay afloat long enough for the technology to catch up.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't seem... Dude, how far away do you think we are, Cody? 500 to 1,000 years.
Want to be brought back to life just with your head. You would have no, for all you know, you would be, you don't even know what you would be brought back as.
Again, my head, robot body.
You might be stuck working for that company. You think you're just going to wake back up and
be
good
to
go?
War machine all of a sudden?
Yes.
I mean, that's a risk. That's a risk I have to take.
Like, is there some agreement that said, like, nobody, you're not going to know anybody else around?
No. Well, I'll make new friends.
Speaking a different language at that point in time, for all you know.
I'll also have to figure that out.
Oh, this sounds terrible. And I got to write you a check for $1 million now. Screw that.
Is that how much it cost?
I don't know. I bet you it's not $9.99 a month. I'll tell you that.
I don't think it's $1 million, is it? I mean,
hundreds of thousands of dollars probably to store your head in a nitrogen thing for life that you will never remember.
Just so you can be brought back to life, Cody, and.
With no family or anything.
In $29.99.
I'll make new friends.
No legs.
I'll make new friends.
No body.
I'll make
just your head. And how do you think they're going to bring you back? How do you think they're going to bring...
MIT's got... They give me a robot body today.
Why do you think that your brain would still be capable of being you after being frozen like that?
That I don't know about. This goes back to the technology part. According to a quick Google search, somewhere between 30 and 200,000. Probably depends on the quality.
Hold on. If 30 to 200, that's quite the range.
Yeah.
The quality.
If you just want it done,
the quality,
Cody.
Like, oh, do I get it? Like, what do you mean quality?
Well, I don't know. I'm just saying, like.
They clean the tank a little bit more often or what?
I don't want to say for sure.
We all know that based on Cody's, you know, spags.
80 grand seems to be about the going rate.
Based on
your
spags bust idea, I mean, the $30,000 option is the one that you would do, correct? I mean, because it gets it done.
I think that it might be like
you want to pay for the quality.
I'll say the older I get, the more that I like to or am willing to pay an additional price for an increased quality or quality or product. Right, I'm more willing to pay as I get older. I understand that sometimes cost does bring a better quality, and if it comes to freezing my head for the rest of time, I do believe I would be investing in the quality.
So you're asking for $210,000 hero then, for your sake.
I guess maybe I could just start making payments
bust and then
now, you know?
Just freeze me and then hope one day there's technology to awaken me. I'm good.
It would be crazy.
I mean, what else is my head doing? Just in the ground? It's not coming back that way.
Oh, you're dead. You're dead. It's over. The time is over.
It's not coming back that way.
It's over at that point.
It's so much worse to be dead and be frozen in a tube than just have worms going through my eyeballs. The same problem. Neither's great. The other one, I got the possibility of coming back.
And it costs you a ton more money.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, that's true. But if I, you know, like in this case, I can't do anything like this unless I'm just super rich. If you're super rich, what's the problem? You know?
It could be 500 years from now.
I think it's 500,000.
500 to 1,000.
Mm-hmm. About that far down the road.
You get to relive the millennium in $29.99.
Great.
What happens if We keep just doing this. I was like, what happens if that asteroid all of a sudden does hit? Then all of it's gone forever.
Well, then no loss. It was all the same way. Other than I guess
wasted money for your kids would have had that money that you used on it.
I mean, I guess. But again, in this case, I got to be super rich. I can't afford it. Mm-hmm. I can't afford it right now.
Yeah. I think that's okay. All right. Up next, we'll get to what's trending. We'll talk a little bit more about how we grade out this Royals offseason. Plus, we're expected to have the general manager of the Kansas City Chiefs, Brett Veach, join us around 12:15 here on Cody and Gold.